Now, here's a quote. Still images can be moving, and moving images can be still. That's a line from the Taiwanese photographer Chen Chi Chang. Chen Chi was born in Taiwan. He spent many years in America, and he now lives in Austria. And he's a member of the prestigious Magnum Photography Agency. And he's best known for a work called The Chain. Now, between 1993 and 1999, Chen Chi visited the Lung Fa Tang Temple. This place was also a mental asylum and one of Taiwan's largest chicken farms. And the inmates there were chained together in pairs. And The Chain is a series of almost life-size photographs of these people chained together in these pairs. Chen Chi Chang's work is on show at the National School of Arts in Sydney. Suzanne Donisthorpe asks him about the place where the photos in The Chain were taken.
It's actually quite controversial. It's difficult to define back then, still now. On the one hand, it's a temple, it's an asylum, it's a sanctuary, but it's also, back then, it was the largest chicken farm in Taiwan.
And the people in your portraits are chained together, literally chained together. Are those chains, for you, a metaphor?
Yes. Absolutely. We all have our chains, one way or the other, the visible ones or the invisible ones. It could be a family obligation, it could be a social requirement, it could be anything.
But these chains were to physically keep the people in this place under control, weren't they, as much as anything else?
Indeed. It was the head of the temple credited himself for the invention of the chain, and he called it on the chain of compassion, but it's more of a convenient excuse for controlling.
How could he see it as being compassionate?
For the head of the temple, he felt that he was not only helping alleviate the burden of 700 patients, but also 700 families.
Because there's not necessarily any other place for people with mental illness to go, is there?
People who were sent there by their family members after pretty much exhausting all the conventional medical treatments to no avail. So they were sent there as a last resort.
Because otherwise the families would have to look after them.
Yes, possibly for life, yeah.
And they chained people with different diagnoses together, didn't they, with some kind of idea that one would help the other.
That's the idea, but again, that's a convenient way of saying that they're helping them. But I mean, there's so many different symptoms in terms of the mental illness. So, I mean, how can you, like I say, you know, how can you chain someone who is, say, bipolar with someone who is having some kind of different phobia or whatever? And the combinations are many, and the outcome is beyond prediction. So, subsequently, a number of the tragic incidents took place.
Well, you went there a lot, didn't you? You were there over 6 years for quite long periods at a time. I'm actually surprised that they let you take photographs, because really what your beautiful work shows is very damning.
Well, every time I went there, I was always with their minder, sometimes more than one, actually. I mean, I tried to make it as straightforward as possible.
So you ask the patients for permission to photograph them?
No, I didn't ask them individually. I only asked the head of the temple. It's because the patients, when they were sent to the temple, they also, as part of the agreement, had to transfer their guardianship. So
they had no real right to veto this, did they?
Not really. I mean,
does that make you feel a bit uncomfortable? I mean, you know, there is an element of them having all their human rights diminished by not only by the temple, but also somehow by you using their images.
Yes, to some extent, but I show the reality versus, I mean, I could only show a small portion of what's going on there. What's really going on there is a lot more than what the photograph could show.
Well, yeah, it's tricky because on one hand there's those questions of privacy, but on the other hand you're actually exposing something that's actually, I'm sure, quite evil.
That's a difficult one to answer. I mean, it's a difficult issue to deal with for the families and for the government, and which probably justified its existence.
But to us, like, I look at those pictures and just see people with no rights being chained together in what can only you can only imagine as being, you know, appalling conditions. I mean, as a kind of human portrait of suffering, they're very powerful.
I try to, when I photograph, in a more, not only straightforward, but more respectful way, it's actually, there's, if you look at the photographs, they're slightly, you know, shooting from a lower angle up. And in the installation, it's actually, when the viewers come to the venue, all the photographs are hung roughly about 50 centimeters from the floor.
So we must say that they're big portraits, aren't they? They're almost life-size, I imagine.
Yes. Viewers would have to look up. Depends on the venue. They can design such a way that once you're in there, there's no escape. Everywhere you turn,
there they are.
Yeah.
And this work shown in the Venice Biennale, how did the people react to it there?
Well, the reaction has been kind of mixed. Some people ask if this was a performance.
So they think that they're not real people?
I mean, at the end of 20th century, you still see this. Yeah, it's hard to imagine.
Yes, so they accuse you of having people stage this rather than it being genuine photographs. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, not accusing, but they're wondering.
Suggested,
just,
yeah.
Yeah, it's unfathomable.
Well, that is sort of the problem in some ways of photography, isn't it? Because you're taking photos, and we used to always be able to trust the camera, and that was like, you know, cinema verite, I suppose, or the sense that what you saw with the camera was true. But we all know that, you know, you can do all sorts of things now with photography. So as a photographer, do you find that's complicated, that kind of separation between reality and what you want to imagine is there?
Yes, people, you're supposed to believe what you see, but actually I don't believe that at all. I mean, because every step of the photograph making is a very subjective choice. Starting from the angle you choose, the lens you selected, everything. It's a very, very subjective practice.
And there's also the relationship between the subject and the photographer too, isn't there?
Well, that often it comes down to, say, four scenarios. How the subject views himself or herself, how the subject would like to be viewed.
Yes.
Versus how the photographer sees his or her subject. But in the end, it comes down to the photographer's ability to use photography as a language to translate or to visualize what he sees or feels or whatever he or she is trying to express.
Now, you're a magnum photographer, and you've been that since 2001. That's a pretty prestigious organisation to be a part of. But I read that you said that it's an organisation that 50 photographers want to leave and another 5,000 want to join. What did you mean by that?
I guess I'm going to get into trouble because the annual meeting is coming up. Well, I mean, people inside often complain, but people outside always, because every year you see hundreds of submissions.
Well, tell us a bit more about Magnum. What is it exactly for people who may not know?
It's a photo agency for photographers who do not need photo agency. It's a co-op.
So the people who are members of it are seen as being the world's best photographers. That's the kind of point, isn't it?
What is the best? I don't know. But it's, I would say the most of the photographers are quite individualist. very distinctive way of using photography as a language.
Taiwanese photographer Chen Chi Cheng, getting a bit modest there right at the end, speaking to Suzanne Donisthorpe. And that exhibition's called The Chain. You can see it as part of a joint exhibition with the Taiwanese conceptual artist Chen Chi Jen. It's at the National School of Arts in Sydney, and it runs until August.